Test, test. Yep. Okay, I'm getting audio now. Test, test, 1, 2, 3.
Do you want me to check that one?
Sure.
Test, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, everything is going to Adobe now.
Okay, great. Should always go into Adobe.
Because it wasn't sent to Adobe.
Mm.
Okay. Chris is on his way.
Okay.
Today is Tuesday, March 25th, 2014. This is the Non-Commercial Users Constituency Session at 9 a.m. local time. And we are in Hullet.
Two.
It'll be ox tree standing.
come on, it was just a pre-period. Just someone there when Pete comes.
You have to wait until the recording starts.
Ox tree, you should be getting something. Hey. Hey, hey, hey.
And Pete say to Minter, you are my son, I am your father.
Check one, two, nink, nink, one, check one, two, three, four.
What if the chair of the NCUC? I mean,
you'd think he'd show up like 5 minutes early. Maybe. Is he on Skype?
You're asking about Bill.
Yeah.
I saw him walking into the fellowship room, so he might still be there.
Okay.
It should be over by now, so he's probably in the room.
Mm-hmm. How was it?
Fellowship meeting? I think our section was good, but the MPOP presentation was
sorry, excuse me. Really?
Hey, we need to play some song when the chair is coming. Milton.
Hello.
Don't stay with him.
So the question is, do we want to have a table here? Do we have room?
Yeah.
There. I don't know for that, but this is for sure there is room. This, there is place.
That's a nice place. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hello. Nice to see you.
Can I sit beside you?
The winning side of the table.
All right, get ready.
What is Pip? What is Pip? No. What are you doing here? Huh? Sit. No, you are not welcome.
Which would be the first place?
What is
this? This must be someone's, one of the stakeholder group's draft. I was waiting for Bill to. I thought Bill might have already pinged someone, but I'm happy to do it.
Well, if Glenn could say either you or me, if possible.
Who said this?
Glenn asked, and I said, I'd be happy to do it.
Yeah.
But no. I said, you might be happy to
do it. I was going to do it for Rafiq this afternoon, so.
Look, hey, Brendan, come with the boss. Not with the small little boss.
A little boss.
That's why Albert was explaining to one of the followers today. I am the big boss.
Little boss.
Milton? Milton? Milton, can I take over of Pensius?
Get the chair. I do the time. A bunch of innocent students are here, and you're already threatening to take over the meeting.
Yeah, be careful with the issue.
This is the one that I just said. This is from all
Did you meet before? Did you meet before the wife of Milton? No, Milton, yeah.
Have I met Deborah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What this? You know, you were not with us when in the bar 2 days. He was flirting with the waitress.
Everything you were just talking about.
Yeah, it's okay. It's good. We don't care about privacy. That's bullshit, I mean. Ask this kind of question. I mean.
that turns on the mic, and you can turn it off when you're done speaking.
Okay, I have not had enough coffee or sleep to function properly here as a chair, so my apologies. Let me start over. My name is Bill Drake. I am the chair of the non-commercial users constituency, and this is constituency day for NCUC. It is Tuesday, March 25th, 2014, and we are here in Singapore with a room that is well packed, I'm happy to say, and hopefully we will be greeted by some colleagues who are joining us from other parts of the world as we go along as well. The agenda for today has been posted for some time on the Confluence website and was sent around to the NCUC mailing list, and our intrepid webmaster is in the process of locating that agenda and putting it up onto the Adobe screen, at which point you will see it as well. Essentially, what we plan to do today, in many previous sessions, we have had fairly packed kinds of agendas where we had 5 minutes for this item and 5 minutes for that item, and we had to rush through, and it was kind of busy, 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 busy. And I thought for today, since that we just organized a large-scale conference on Friday that was fairly successful and led to a lot of good dialogue, and which will feed into the upcoming NetMundial conference that we'll have in Sao Paulo next month, I thought it would be good to try to have some more unprogrammed open space to try to take stock of that conference and the lessons that we've learned from it. So we have some fairly open dialogue space today, which is good. Often we have many different visitors with different agendas. Today we limit ourselves to only two, but they are doozies, as we say in America. That is to say, they are fairly prominent and of-the-moment people. The Assistant Secretary of Commerce for the U.S. Department of Commerce, Larry Strickling, who, of course, made the recent announcement with regard to the IANA function and the pulling back of the United States, the intention of the United States to pull back from its role vis-a-vis the IANA function. And also Fiona Alexander, who is his chief brain and runs the international office at the NTIA, the National Telecommunications Information Administration. They're good people, and they'll come by and hang out with us for a half hour at 11 o'clock to talk about their views about what happened and what goes on next, and we can exchange with them our thoughts about how we feel that transition might be best managed as well. So that's the essence of the program. When it finally opens up in Adobe, you'll see the rest. To get going, why don't we start with participant introductions, because that often takes a few minutes, and we have a number of people here who are not our usual suspects, which is fantastic. We're really happy to have non-usual suspects here. So if people could go around the room and introduce themselves just briefly and say, and I do mean briefly because otherwise it turns into an hour thing, so like a minute, who you are, your institution, your engagement with ICANN, your interest in NCUC, that would be really, or a role with NCUC, that'd be really fantastic. Why don't we start with the gentleman over here on the right-hand corner.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pranesh Prakash. I'm a policy director with the Center for Internet and Society, and I'm a resident fellow with the Yale Institute, the Yale Information Society Project, I beg your pardon. And it's quite early morning yet for me. And I am also a member of the NCUC Executive Committee.
Hi there, good morning. I'm Carlos Afonso. It looks like I'm the only Carlos Afonso in this room right now. The situation probably going to change as the day progresses. I'm the director of the Institute for Technology and Society based in Rio de Janeiro. And currently here at the NCUC, I am part of the Executive Committee. Been around in NCUC for a while and doing a bunch of internet governance things.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Flavio Wagner. I am professor for computer science at the University in South Brazil and a member of the board of the Brazilian Internet Steering Committee. And currently, I am serving on the Executive Multi-Stakeholder Committee of Net Mundial and also an NCUC member.
Morning. My name is João Carlos Rebelo de Caribe. I'm from Brazil, too. I'm an activist, grassroots activist. I represent the Movimento Mega in Brazil. That's a movement for actions on internet freedom. That's me.
I'm Magali Pazel. I'm also from Brazil. I am a senior researcher in the Instituto Nupef, an NGO in Brazil, and also a NCSG representative in the GNSO Council.
Stefania Milan, based in the Netherlands, academic and a member of the executive committee. I never remember the name. NCUC, exactly, and also the one who coughs in the background.
Okay. Hello, my name is Benjamin Akimoje. I'm an ICTD enthusiast, and I've been a few months NCUC member from Nigeria.
I'm Walid Al-Sakaf. This place reminds me of the deja vu moment I had last year in Beijing with the same meeting here that kicked off my membership at the NCUC, and I look forward to more. I'm based in Sweden, though I come from Yemen.
Hello, everyone. This is Ina Maria. I'm from Jordan. I'm a project manager specialist for IT projects. I'm second time fellow, ICANN fellow, and Abralo member.
Hi, I'm Farzan Ubaidi, and I'm a second-time fellow, and I have no institutional affiliation.
I'm Gulirana from Pakistan. I'm a second-time fellow as well, and I'm here at NCUC because it's my hope to participate in ICANN as a start as an individual.
I'm not letting Farzad get away with this. She used to run the Internet Governance Forum, so she's not just like a floating person. But anyway, okay.
Hello, I'm Ephraim Kenyanito from Kenya, and I'm a first-time fellow, ICANN, and I'm here with NCC because of my background in research, legal research with non-profit institutions like Access and Transparency, so I'm very glad to be here. And I'm also an author with Global Voices Online. Yes, thank you.
Good morning. My name is John. I'm from Korea, and I'm working in civil society, OpenNet Korea. And since earlier of the year 2000, I have been a member of non-commercial constituency and non-commercial users constituency, except for one time ICANN meeting, which was held in Seoul. For last 6 or 7 years, I have never been in ICANN meeting. Then I came back again. So once I was very active, but now not so active, and just an observer. So as an observer, I'm a participant here. Thank you. I'm glad to meet you.
Good morning. My name is Louise Nasak, and I'm from the Telecommunications and Radio Communications Regulator of Vanuatu in the South Pacific. I'm here to basically learn about the civil society issues and how and of internet governance. So, and basically, my role also is manager technical and internet governance. I'm here to find out what the civil society is experiencing in terms of internet governance, so how it can factor that into the regulatory aspects. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Pascal Bekonu. This is my second meeting with NCUC. The first was online 1 month ago, I think. Okay. I'm a computer engineer. Thank you.
You're in charge of the website, then.
No problem.
Who hired you?
No. My name is David Cake. I am currently one of the NCSG councillors on the GNSO council, and I represent Electronic Frontiers Australia.
I'm Bill Drake. I teach global internet governance at the University of Zurich. I'm the chair of NCUC. I'm also on the board of directors of Uralo in the at-large structures, and I'm involved in various other things. I'm on the steering committee of the OneNet collaboration. I'm on the multi-stakeholder advisory group of the MAG, and I'm one of the advisors to the high-level panel that Fadi's running on global internet governance.
Hello, good morning. My name is Marília Maciel. I am a researcher and coordinator of the Center for Technology and Society of Getúlio Vargas Foundation in Brazil. I'm now a member of the NCSG Policy Committee and a member of the Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance, and I'm also on the Executive Committee that is preparing Net Mundial in Brazil.
Hi, everyone. My name is Grace Gidaiga from the Kenya ICT Action Network. I am a new member of the Executive Council of NCUC, representing Africa, and I'm glad to see my colleagues from Africa, and I will just urge you that we need to be very active, participate. Let's not complain. Let's be there and be part of decision-making processes.
Good morning. I'm Brendan Kermis. I'm with the Internet Governance Project at Syracuse University. I'm a former NCUC Executive Committee member, and I'm the current appointee to the ICANN Nominating Committee for NCUC.
Hello. Rafik Damak. The No Commercial Stakeholder Group Chair and member of CNCUC.
Hi, I'm Kathy Kleiman. I'm one of the founders of the Non-Commercial Users Constituency, and it's amazing to see so many people here from so many places. Back in the old days, we could have fit around, one of the very small tables. So this is fantastic. I am an attorney in the United States representing free speech, fair use, and privacy, and I'm on the Proxy Privacy Accreditation Working Group working on privacy issues right now. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Amr El-Sadr. I'm from Egypt, but I am currently a graduate student studying telemedicine and e-health in the Arctic University of Norway. I am an NCUC and NCSG member, and I am currently serving as an NCSG representative to the GNSO Council.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Perrin. I'm a relatively recent member to the NCUC. I became active in ICANN because I was drafted for the expert working group on Who Is Services, and so I serve on that committee still. And I am a member of the HLMC committee that will be meeting in Sao Paulo. So if anyone has concepts of internet governance, I'd love to talk to you. And I recently retired from the federal government of Canada after 35 years working largely in telecommunications and IT matters, mostly privacy. So that's my focus, and I'm a PhD student at the University of Toronto.
All right, we're going to skip to me. I'm Milton Mueller. I'm with Kathy, one of the founders of NCUC and former chair, and currently on the executive committee of the Non-Commercial Stakeholders Group. With me here today are five students from the Net Mission Project, and this is a very sharp bunch, so they're tasked to follow me around and see what happens in ICANN. I'll let them introduce themselves individually if we have time.
Okay, good afternoon. My name is Donggil Lee. I'm from South Korea, and I'm majoring in the technology management and computer science. And actually, it's my first time to visit here about ICANN. So I want to hear a lot of experience from you guys. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Roxanne, and I'm a student from University of Waterloo, and I'm currently on exchange here in Singapore. I major in computer engineering, and I appreciate being on this table right now and just being a part of this conference. Thanks, guys.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ichiro Okuyama. I am an undergraduate student at KU University and a research member at KU International Project for the Internet Society. I like to take this opportunity to listen to your all discussion and hope to take something back to Japan. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ruby, and I'm one of the NetMission ambassadors. And we are holding the next gen at ICANN to let the youth to get into the discussion in ICANN. So thank you, Milton, for being our mentors. Thank you. Thank you, you guys.
So hi, everyone. I'm Charmaine from Hong Kong as well. Thank you, Milton, for taking us to this meeting, and we hope to learn from you all. And we would like to invite you to maybe attend our model board meeting on Thursday, 10 to 12:30. Our topic is universal acceptance of IDN. But today, I'd like to learn from all of you. Thank you.
Fantastic. How about the people behind us and around the edges? Could we have some introductions? We have members here. Could you just come on up and grab the mic? Oh, we have a roving mic, even better.
Hello, good morning, everyone. I'm Joana Varom. I'm a researcher at the Center for Technology and Society, a Fundação Getúlio Vargas. I'm also part of OneNet steering committee and for the lock in the Net Mundial in Brazil.
Hi. I'm Niels ten Hoever. I'm the acting head of digital at Article 19 and also active in the Netherlands with Bits of Freedom and a new time member to this posse. And I'm very happy and grateful to be here.
I'm Yihui Wang from Taiwan, working at Research Institute. And it's the first time being there and hope to learn more. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Valentina Pavel. I'm from the Association for Technology and Internet in Bucharest, Romania, and I'm a first-time fellow in Singapore.
Hello, good morning, everybody. This is Zakir Sayed from Pakistan. I'm the head of market research at SMENA Telecommunications Council, and I'm first-time ICANN fellow this time. Thank you.
My name is John Berard. I'm a GNSO counselor from the Commercial and Business Users constituency and a first-time visitor to the NCUC meeting.
Good morning. I'm Rob Hogarth from the ICANN staff.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Sora Shen from Beijing Internet Institute. I'm a newcomer to ICANN meeting, and I hope to learn something from here. I always heard that NCUC is an interesting meeting to attend, so that's why I'm here.
Hello, everyone. I'm Hanen Aidouji from Tunisia. I'm an assistant professor of computer science. I'm a first-time fellow in the ICANN.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Hasna Soraya Milyani. I'm from Morocco, I'm an at-large member. And I'm a newcomer, first-time fellow in Singapore.
Thank you, Nami Glenn de Saint-Jury, the GNSR Secretariat.
Glenn is, for people who are new to the world of the GNSO, the den mother for all of us, who makes everything happen. And we have one new person just coming in, and two. And some others over here, okay.
Okay, good morning. My name is Sean from Nigeria. I work with Federal University of Yekiti, Nigeria, and I'm an NCUC applicant because I haven't gotten a response yet on my application. So... So 2 weeks ago or so. So I need to understand the process in application, and so good to be here. Well, I'm a newcomer to ICANN too. I'm a fellow.
Hello, good morning. My name is Karel Douglas from Trinidad and Tobago. This is my second time to ICANN as a fellow. I'm quite interested and excited to be here. Some of the issues that are being discussed are very near and dear to me. So I look forward to a very interesting conversation, discussion today. And of course, I too hopefully will join sooner than later NCUC.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Shakil Ahmed. I am from Pakistan. I am second time fellow. I am here to know more about NCUC. Thank you.
Okay, then. Well, a very warm welcome to you all. I cannot tell you, as somebody who's been involved in ICANN for a while, how gratifying it is to go to a meeting and realize that as a U.S. citizen, I'm in such a distinct minority. It's really extraordinary, and it's a real testament to the development of NCUC and the ways in which we have been pressing on issues that I think are of broad interest to the global community. The proposed agenda that I had submitted to the mailing list some time ago and did not receive any disagreements, but we can amend now if anybody has any thoughts. Just briefly, we are 15 minutes behind, but we'll get caught up. It's okay. Was to start with a brief overview from the executive committee at our meetings on Saturday. We met all day. And then to talk mostly about, as I said, in a kind of more open and unstructured way, not entirely, about the conference that we just had, what we learned from it, what the takeaways are, how it might affect our further engagement in global internet governance issues beyond the simple management of domain names and so on. There is obviously quite a lot going on at this particular moment, catalyzed by the NetMundial conference and all of the various doings that have been set off in light of that, from expert committees that Fadi Chahadi has initiated to the new multi-stakeholder collaborative mechanism of OneNet and on and on and on. So we want to think a bit, I think, together about how we want to work in that space. To what extent do we want to engage? How do we want to engage? So I thought we could do that until the coffee break. And then after the break, as I say, we have Larry Strickling and Fiona Alexander. And then I thought we could conclude with a little bit less than an hour of sort of operational matters related to constituency, some planning issues coming up for the next year, our work cycle, some proposed meetings that we may participate in, some things that are priorities for us to try to tackle together. And then there's any other business. And there's one item there already. Brendan wanted to mention something about the NOMCOM, the nominating committee. Are there any other amendments to the agenda that anybody would like to suggest? Additions, so on and so forth. No. Okay, then. So let's go straight to the beginning. Yes, Kathy.
Kathy, before the Deputy Secretary of Commerce of the United States and his assistant come in, are we going to prepare kind of our thoughts or concerns? Will we be doing any preparation together before that meeting?
Sure, as you like. That certainly fits entirely with what is our engagement and with IG issues and so on. Again, he is not here to discuss the full range of U.S. domestic policies or things like that. We're very much focused in this case on the IANA contract and the move he's made and what that means. But anything's fair game. And I don't know if people know Larry, but he's from Chicago like me. He's very open, although he's from the South Side, which is the wrong side of town. He's a White Sox fan, and I'm a Cubs fan. And so these are two entirely different baseball worlds. But otherwise, he's very open, and I'm sure he'll take any kind of questions and address them forthrightly.
Great. Thank you.
Sure.
Didn't know you guys were so close.
Yeah. Okay, so why don't we hear just a little bit about what we did on Saturday from the executive committee members, if they could perhaps just give a couple of minutes of update to the rest of the membership of points that are relevant to know, main takeaways that they might have about either the group in general. It's a new group. We have an election every year. These folks were just elected with 150, whatever it was, votes in December, and we're trying to pull together a cohesive group that will engage in a lot of work together over the next year. And so anything that they may have about that process or the specific things that we approved in the formal one-hour meeting that we held as well. Who's going to do that for us? Carlos, is that you? Go ahead. Carlos Afonso.
So I have Brunesh notes here, so let me go quickly over it. So we have a new executive committee for those who are in the room and are not familiar with that. Let me just go through our executive committee as it stands now, with Grace being our representative from Africa, Pranesh, our representative from Asia, Stefania, our coughing representative from Europe. Unfortunately, Hoy Balest is not here with us in this meeting. Our representative from North America, and myself from Latin America, South America, sorry. And of course, Bill Drake. So we met on Saturday when we had this whole day to do a retreat on the issues of the executive committee. This it was our first face-to-face meeting as executive committee, and we have been done for the last 2 months sort of a division of labor on the activities of the executive committee for this year, tackling a couple of issues that we have in front of us, such as the improvement of our website, in-reach, outreach, and a couple of other issues. We spent the first time of our meeting going through some general GNSO operations overview, since a couple of our new executive committee members are somewhat new to the whole ICANN structure and functioning. So we had Rob Rogoff with us to talk about GNSO activities and to explain to us the wonders of PDP and other acronyms that are so dear to GNSO activities. We spend a good amount of time dealing with some strategic and organizational procedures, especially dealing with our event that we conducted on Friday. And let me take this time and just to make an announcement, which is a sort of announcement and sort of an invitation. One of the activities of the executive committee for this year is the revision of our bylaws. So this revision of our bylaws is long overdue. So this is an activity that it seems like every 2 years it happens to be in front of us, and we try to come up with a good wording that everyone end up agreeing in the wording of our bylaws, but we are not putting it forward. So this year, that will be definitely something for us to work on. I will be leading this bylaw revision throughout the year, so this is me inviting you all, especially those who have legal practice or some sort of willing to torture yourself with craftsmanship of wording of this bylaw for, I would say, the next 2 or 3 months. We are conducting those activities, and this is a formal invitation for you all to join us to see if, because if we look here on the time that we estimate to have the IPRO, the bylaws approved, we will have to come up with a wording in the next 3 months or 3 or 4 months. So that means that we will have a discussion about that in London and try to put it forward for an approval by the end of the year. So that will be one of our goals, and this is an invitation to all of us. So I'm not sure if the other executive committee members would like to add something on our on our agenda and the activities that we conducted on Saturday. Any of you? Pranesh?
I'll just add a few words about the executive committee official meeting, the parts without, Robin and general discussions about where NCUC is going and about ICANN itself, which is what we had, because many of us are actually newcomers to ICANN. Apart from the discussions on bylaws, we also had discussions around internal working methods on the division of labor within the executive committee, about financial requests and how we're going to go forward on that, about how we're going to raise finances from ICANN for different activities and the opportunities that lie ahead for that, about the crop funding program, and lastly, approval of budgetary expenses within the EC as well, and updates on that. Anything else to add, Grace or Stefania or Bill?
And
we also were concerned that, for example, the EC list has over 300 members, but in terms of communication online, we hardly have people responding or discussing issues raised. And we were concerned at why there is lack of participation by the over 300 members, and would be interested in just finding out what your concerns are, why you are not participating, and what ways you think you can participate effectively, because we don't get to meet face to face. And therefore, we have to embrace the forms of communications that are available to us. So again, it's something that we'll be interested in hearing from you. But if you also don't want to raise it in a loud voice, you can talk to any of us so that then we know how to move from there. Thank you.
We definitely want to encourage participation, and we want to be able to develop groupings that are so appropriate to the particular interests of members, and we need the members to take a lead in doing that, but we can facilitate, and we very much hope that that can happen.
A point of order. I believe this is being recorded, right? If so, you should probably all announce our. We should all announce our names before speaking.
That would be good form, and I'm given to bad form. I'm Bill Drake. I just made that comment. Okay. Anything else? Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Amr, and just in response to add to what Grace just said, I think this would be a great initiative for the NCUC Executive Committee to take on, and if I'm not mistaken, there was a Google Doc that I believe Bill and Rafiq had worked on a little over a year ago on an NCUC in-reach plan, if you guys could pick up where it was left off at that time. I think that would be a great thing, just increase our membership engagement, especially in the area of policy development in the GNSO. And yeah, that would be great, and I'd be willing to work with you guys to help that. Thanks.
Fantastic. Good. You know, one of the ongoing problems, I'll come to you in a second, Steph. This is Bill. One of the ongoing problems that we have is that our membership has been growing quite robustly and becoming more diverse, and at the same time, we have a challenge of connecting people once they join the group, they get onto the listserv, but helping them to find others with shared interests and then find ways to get engaged in either working groups or participating in public comment periods or doing other kinds of activities that feed into the policy process is a bit challenging. And we really need some folks who are willing to put some time and energy into inReach. We're growing so rapidly that I don't think outreach is our biggest concern. It's coming. InReach is something that we've got a problem with making use of people that we've got and getting them fully engaged. And we'd hope to have a membership affairs team that would be a bridge between the executive committee and the regular membership that would play a role in helping to try to do that. And we've just not been able to find somebody who wanted to play the role of facilitator and put the time into. We have a listserv. We've got people signed up from last year who joined a group, and the group has never been active. And so that's just one of those things that's just sitting there. But we definitely need a mechanism, and I would think that that members team is the way to do that. And so I would encourage anybody to think about whether that might be something they'd be willing to spend an hour or two a week on, and if so, to talk to me offline and see if we could reach some agreement about that. Okay? Stephanie had, and then Stephanie, yes.
It's Stephanie Perrin. I have a whole lot of thoughts on this, and that was my question. Who do we talk to about this? You? You're a busy guy, Bill.
Inter alia.
Inter alia. Okay.
Yes.
And this is just to develop further what Bill said. If you go to the website under participate, there is an entry for working teams.
Yes.
There are, I believe, I was trying to open it, like 5 mailing lists or 6. And you see some names. These names are maybe a little bit outdated, but in any case, there's room for everyone to get engaged. So just as sign up, if you go to each of these working teams, you see join the mailing list. Just click on that, insert your email address, and there you are. Your name will appear on the website more or less automatically. And there's, Carlos said, the most urgent is perhaps the bylaws revision. There are other mailing lists which are a bit dormant between events. But, maybe that's a way for engaging in something which is not extremely time-consuming. There's very low traffic in most of these mailing lists, maybe not on the policy and the bylaw. But, everyone is welcome to participate.
Okay. And, again, as I said, not to blame the technology, but our previous website had a Ning. Was a Ning that had an option to create little social networks around particular issues. So somebody could say, I want to form an interest group on development, and then 6 people would join, and they could start to have communication and so on. We've lost that, and we want to try to find a way to rebuild that capability. Certainly one thing is that we've got all these members. We should, unless people want to be private, and they can always opt out, when we have, URLs on people pointing to hope pages, we could at least provide links so people can see who each other is, and maybe we could find some way for folks to indicate particular interest areas that they have on our member website so that folks could find each other more effectively. That would be a good initiative for a members team to take on. Pranish.
Hi, this is Pranish Prakash. I just wanted to note that one way forward for those of you who have ever used IETF's Jabber servers or any other Jabber service is through Jabber. That allows you also to create ad hoc chat rooms that anyone else can join. And anyone can create this. You don't need one administrator the way for mailing lists, etc. You need someone to actually have the admin password to create a new to create a new mailing list, etc. So we right now have a Jabber server running on ncuc.org. It's right now still in the testing phase, and I'd welcome those of you who want to help test it to approach me so that I could provide you an account, and eventually. What I hope to do is provide everyone within if there is actually desire to take this forward, provide everyone a first name dot last name at ncuc.org account to access this, so that they can, you know, actually have a functioning chat server.
Sure.
I would love to work with you on that to ensure that all communications within the NCUC and the chat clients are open and transparent for all members. I find it quite important.
And your name would be?
Niels Ten Uwer from Article 19, Bill.
This is Pranish. And
a new member to NCUC who spoke at our conference the other day.
Excellent. This is Pranish. And I had a point which I very conveniently have forgotten.
I find that works for me in all kinds of settings. All right. Any other last points on this, or shall we move to a substantive discussion of the event?
Last point on this. This is Pranish. If needed, logging can be established on these chat rooms as well, so that automatically logs of the chat rooms can be published, and depending on which chat rooms you want public and which ones you want private.
Fantastic. So once that gets scaled up, that seems like that could be a real possibility for helping people find each other and engage in kind of spontaneous dialogues on a number of different issues. So this is good. Turning then to our next item, number three, reflections on the NCUC conference. How many of, can I just see a show of hands, and I'm going to guess that it's fewer than I would expect, but how many people were here on Friday for the conference that we organized? Well, no, because I think a lot of people didn't come in early, so I think we're like at half, maybe. Just to overview a little bit what we did there, can you call up, David, the website for the conference? The purpose of the conference, when I applied for budgetary support back in March to organize an NCUC conference, this was simply an extension of what we've done previously. We organized conferences at the Toronto meeting and also the San Francisco meeting and for a couple of workshops at the Beijing meeting, all with an effort of trying to promote dialogue on our sorts of issues with different parts of the community. And in this particular case, the idea when we started was to do something sort of more similar, perhaps focusing more on global internet governance issues. As it turned out, in the subsequent period, Fadi Shahadi decided to throw 100 things up in the air. Internet governance became a hot topic across the ICANN sphere, and suddenly we had this NetMundial meeting, which nobody knew what it was going to be about and what its agenda was going to be, and a lot of people in the private sector were quite worried about it and asking questions, what's the purpose of this, what's going to go on, blah, 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 blah. And so we thought it would be useful to have a discussion where we sort of looked forward to the agenda of the conference and helped the community walk through what are the main topics that will be on the table, and to facilitate some cross-community dialogues on areas of agreement and disagreement on the substantive topics at hand. If you could click view the program. And so we had four main sessions, a sort of setup session that was intended to sort of get the juices going and bring onto the table a number of these different initiatives that have been made in recent years, these presidential committees that have been convened by Fadi Shahadi, the OneNet steering group, the cross-community working group on IG. All of these have been putting forward ideas about internet governance and the relationship between ICANN and the IG world. So just to get that framing out there and to hear voices from different parts of the community about that was the main point there. Then we went into sessions on each of the three big topics that have been proposed for the NetMundial conference, which again is 2324 in Sao Paulo, Brazil, co-sponsored by the CGI.br and the OneNet Committee, and the OneNet Steering Committee, apparently. We did a session about principles, and the notion that there have been these 25 principles that have been adopted, 25 or more statements of principles that have been adopted over the past 2 years by various intergovernmental organizations and non-governmental organizations on how to govern global internet. And there's a desire, I think, for this meeting in Brazil to come out with a joint statement, a multi-stakeholder declaration of principles. So we wanted to talk a little bit about what kind of principles, procedural principles, substantive principles, and so on. Then we had another session. David, could you rotate, please? Then we had another session on globalization of ICANN and the IANA function. And that was very much taken over by the recent announcement of the IANA changes from Larry Strickling, as you might guess, but it was a very interesting discussion about what kind of way path could we follow going forward to institutionalize the IANA function on a better basis, whether it should be internal or external to the ICANN nexus, and so on and so forth. And then finally, a last panel, which was about one of the themes that has been running through the past decade of negotiations in the United Nations, and which will undoubtedly be a subject of some concern at the Net Mundial and is a concern, I think, of the Brazilians, is the question of whether or not there should be some sort of new institutional mechanism or home for discussion of internet public policy issues and for dealing with policy questions in the internet tapestry. The view is that we have an ecosystem that is missing some key components, that there are a lot of issues that are so-called orphaned issues that don't fit within the institutional aegis of any of the given existing decision-making bodies. There's a desire on the part of many countries, particularly from the G77 in China, to have some sort of a space in the UN setting. This is, of course, controversial and divisive and hard to reach agreement on. There's a second set of questions of, well, if we can't do that, can we strengthen the Internet Governance Forum, which is a truly multi-stakeholder body, and encourage developing country participation there through some innovative steps and so on? And there have been some suggestions from the Internet Society and others along those lines. And then finally, there was this, this notion that's been floating in the wind quite a lot, and I guess has come up in the Working Group on Enhanced Cooperation as well, that there should be some sort of new mechanism, a light information, knowledge-sharing, expertise-sharing mechanism, which wouldn't necessarily meet all the demands, quite obviously, of governments that want to be able to sit and talk and make decisions with other governments, but would serve to help to direct governments that have trouble facing particular problems to sources of expertise, to the correct institutions, and so on and so forth. That it would serve sort of as a clearinghouse, something like that. And there have been a number of different ideas about that, and I know that this is something that Fadi Chahadi is in particular very interested in seeing happen. So those are the three issues that we talked about there, and then we had Larry Strickling give a keynote and then closing from some of our colleagues. So that's the overview of the event, and I should say also we spent a bunch of time at the end. If you haven't looked at this website, at the end of each session description, this is all on the main ncuc.org website, at the end of each session description, there's a link to a set of further materials you could look at, Net Mundial inputs that were written on the different topics as well as other relevant materials. So it was, I think, a fairly structured way of trying to promote a dialogue around some of these topics. So enough of me. What did people think of the meeting? How did it work? Yes, sir.
I was... Who are you? I'm Milton Mueller at Syracuse University. And I think the common take was that all the panels that didn't deal directly with ICANN stuff, everybody started talking about ICANN. So, for example, your attempt, if you could roll up the agenda, your attempt to deal with the broader landscape, you know, it's very makes a lot of sense to kind of scholars like you and me who have broad overview understanding of the landscape, but I don't think your panelists delivered. And I think the only reason I'm saying that is not to criticize the conference, because the programming and the intention was perfect, but I think the issue, the question to ask is, how do we get people in ICANN to look at what they're doing here in this broader context, and what is the broader context? How does ICANN intersect with it? And should, you know, what is the tail and what is the dog? You know, I think I'd like to have that discussion with you guys.
First of all, I'd like to thank and congratulate everybody that participated in the organization of the seminar. People have no idea how it can be heavy to organize something like this, especially Bill, our chair, so many thanks to you, Bill. I think it was a very, very valuable initiative to organize a seminar. I always had the feeling, I've been following internet governance for 7-8 years, and I always had the feeling that the community in ICANN usually looks very much inwards, and Net Mondial and the announcement and even the Snowden revelation gave us the opportunity to make this community think about, as Milton has said, what is the role of ICANN in this broader context. And I think that the meeting helped them to understand that. And even though issues were not touched upon very concretely in terms of what is ICANN's role, I think that there was a very good mapping and setting the scene of what are the key issues, what are the main proposals on the table. And I think that it is an opportunity for people to get more informed and move forward. And I think that ICANN does have a very important role to play, responding to Milton's questions, for several reasons, because it is part of the ecosystem and it manages a critical resource, but also because the model that is developed here and the way that the multi-stakeholder model has been structured in terms of procedure, in my opinion, is something that is really important to happen in other spaces as well. It's nice to have distributed governance, but some procedure needs to be put in place, even to protect the interests of those that have less resources to participate, and be financial resources, human resources, and I think that ICANN has done that fairly well. So it's an example as well to the broader ecosystem, and I think it was very positive to discuss here, and even to realize that even though ICANN performs a very, very, very important function for the internet to run and work, this is a small part of policy issues that concern the internet. So make people understand that, I think that was a very important point of the seminar as well. And I think that even on the corridors, people are much more open to discuss broader internet governance politics, and this is a taken.
Kathy Kleiman, I wasn't at the conference. I've been at the predecessors, but apparently this one was an enormous success. When I hit the ground, that's all anybody was talking about. So congratulations, Bill, and all of the conference organizers and session organizers. I know a huge amount of time must have been spent and dedicated, and the timing couldn't have been better, and thank you. And it was standing room only. That's what I heard.
It was unusual. We had a room for 150, and it was basically full the entire day, which was kind of unique. And I'm sure Larry Strickling contributed to that. Nevertheless, that they were there was a good thing. Avery.
Thank you. Avery Doria speaking. I'm not going to sort of repeat it, what everyone said about it being good. It was good. However, I'm going to bring up one thing that I think is a problem with these kinds of conferences. And I think it's wonderful that everybody was there at the end. And they actually stayed beyond Larry for the final three. So it wasn't just Larry. I think that there was way too much talking of people sitting in the front. I think panels were too big. I think that we need to think about having a few panels that distribute information is a good thing. But I really think that when we look at next year's, we have to come up with a few sessions that are just more dynamic, that actually pull people in. And I don't mean splitting into groups and going off and doing stuff. But there are ways of sort of making it less panel, looking at other things, looking at one where there's an actual debate, looking at one where you're actually getting people to discuss with each other in the House. And so I just want to sort of put that on the list that, yes, this was a good panel conference. However, I think that next time we should look at doing something that isn't just panels.
With him.
Niels, Article 19. I would like to build on what has been said by Milton and Avery, is that indeed a lot of broad topics were discussed that I missed during other parts of ICANN up to now. But a lot of the panels were indeed people delivering their statements and not really reacting to each other or the room. And it would indeed be a great addition if it could be real debates where real new ideas are formed and not people restating their own position that they've already had for a certain time.
As you might guess, I have answers to all these, but I'm going to wait. Pranesh.
This is Pranesh Prakash. Just one point to add. I thought the questions laid out were absolutely fantastic. And I think some of the panels worked really well in addressing those questions. Some of the other panels didn't work as well in terms of actually pointedly providing answers to those questions. And so perhaps next time moderators could not just pointedly, you know, provide these questions to the panelists in advance, which, of course, they did this time, not just put them up on the board, but while asking them, while introducing them, specifically ask them to respond to the particular questions as well. And hopefully that will egg them to provide more specific responses.
Hi, just a small comment that I forgot. I think that something really useful was the background resources that were put online. People refer to it a lot. And this is something that if we manage to keep this background resources updated, and I know, I think Roy is working on a library of NCUC or something, could be useful to the community and also to show what community members are producing. So I think it was very positive. And just to remind everybody that the session is online, so if you were not here, if you missed it, you can watch how it went.
Indeed, it's ICANN was very good at providing all of the logistical support we asked for. We did it with Adobe Connect and Phone Bridge, and it was also YouTube sent out by one of our members, Jolie, and it's been videotaped, and it's all up there so people can consult it later. Other suggestions on the operational considerations and lessons learned, things that we might do differently, better next time, and so on and so forth, things we did right, things we did wrong. Any thoughts? Milton.
Yeah, I think my last comments were meant to open a discussion, but let me be more pointed this time and say that I think the session that worked the best was the one that was most directly related to ICANN and attempting to influence the course ICANN takes. And I think that the panels on the broader landscape were not successful, and that in the future, the lesson that I learned would be that we should use these conferences to try to influence things that are happening in ICANN, that ICANN does, and we will have the most success when we're much more closely focused on ICANN policy issues.
Okay. Other thoughts? Anyone? Okay. Can I abuse my chair to position to respond? Just a few points. And I think the first point you made, Milton, is really what this was all about in a way. It is true, you know, for those of us who have worked, and I look around this room and I know many of you have been involved in both the ICANN sphere and the UN internet governance debates, and we're all kind of plugged into the two different worlds and think about how they intersect and so on. But the fact of the matter is you find out over and over that there are lots of people who live in the one and don't live in the other. And there are a lot of people in the United Nations type discussions of IG who go to WSIS meetings, go to UN Commission on Science and Technology Development meetings, go to IGF meetings, who really don't know what's happening in ICANN and its internal operations and so on, its organizational culture, et cetera, and hence, therefore, make sweeping statements about ICANN, which often to insiders seem a little bit odd. Conversely, there are lots of people in ICANN who just couldn't give a rat's patootie about Internet governance generally. They're here for domain name business. They sell domain names. They make a lot of money. They don't see what they do as being Internet governance. They're very focused on their immediate environment. And you can understand that. The idea of the meeting was, A, to say there's this big thing coming up that everybody's been freaking out about. Let's talk about what it is, which is the Sao Paulo meeting. But then, B, within that context, let's also foster dialogue and maybe some cross-fertilization and greater mutual understanding and get people who are very ICANN-centric to at least be exposed to some of the stuff that other people are engaged in. And I know that when I was on the GNSO Council for 4 years and I would try and raise issues of development or developing country interests or things like this, people would stare at me like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, this is so outside the boundaries of what we're doing here in the GNSO Council. And so I think it's an important thing to try to do that, even if the uptake on it isn't always well. I would disagree with you, Milton, when you say the sessions that the panelists didn't deliver. I think the panelists delivered by and large. I think that the audience didn't hear it as well, perhaps. Although I'm not as pessimistic as you, because I did have conversations with people after the fact, like Marilia, where indeed people who are totally focused on domain names were talking to me about, so what's happening in the UN? And why, you know, what is this push and why is that about? What are they trying to do? And why should anybody care about principles and things like that? People were asking me. So I think the process of collective learning is a slow, incremental, and uneven one. But I think that there was some cross-fertilization there. But certainly, no question, when we set this thing up, we didn't imagine that Larry Strickling was going to announce the INF changes the week prior. So, of course, all the ICANN people came in, and all they wanted to talk about was IANA, 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 and everything else was kind of tertiary to them. That was inherent in the process, and so I think that that's kind of just the way it went. The too many panelists issue, that was a function of simply trying to make this a real... NCUC hasn't always had the warmest and closest relations with all parts of the constituencies in ICANN, and I made a real effort to try to reach out. I invited the intellectual property constituency. I invited the business constituency. I invited the registries, the registrars, the ASO, the RSAC, the ALAC, the GAC, every part of the ecosystem to participate and send speakers. And people either said, yes, I really want to, or goofed around for a long time and then said, yes, please add me. So I ended up with panels with six when I would have rather had panels of five. I also sent to all of the moderators detailed, I'm the master of very long, boring emails, and I sent the detailed suggestions saying, why don't you do like 3 to 5 minute opening statements and then go to an interactive discussion where you get the panelists talking to each other, and I posed those questions as a baseline, something that you could default to in looking for something them to talk to about. Well, at the end of the day, no matter how many times you ask moderators to do that, panelists come in and give a 10-minute talk in their 3-minute time allocation. And you can lunge across the table and tell them to shut the hell up. You're not doing what we asked you to do. But it's not always convenient to do that. So we did end up with some people who went on. And that was unfortunate. And I would only hope that in the future we go with fewer people, make it much more clear, much more upfront that there's got to be a dialogue-oriented discussion and so on. So I take all those points, and I think those are things to learn from. And the last point about Milton said we should focus on ICANN stuff. I guess, you know, if you want to really appeal first and foremost to an ICANN audience, you talk about ICANN stuff. But I guess my question is, and I throw this back to you, Milton, this part of ICANN, we're the part of ICANN that has always been very human rights oriented, civil liberties oriented, public interest, I don't like that term, but public interest oriented, with a lot of academics and so on. If we don't raise those issues and push people who are here for the money, who are all about domain names and making money, if we don't push them to engage with that space, are we doing a disservice? Would we be missing something? I mean, we could get a bigger event by just doing ICANN, no question. The question is, do we have a social responsibility to try
no,
to
No, 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 you're creating a false dichotomy. It's not that we don't do important, broader human rights issues. It's just that they need to intersect with ICANN's agenda. So, for example, the expert working group on directory services raises all kinds of issues about privacy and freedom of expression, but it's something that ICANN actually does. So my statement is simply, we use those conferences to try to shape and influence a discourse around policy issues that are actually live in ICANN. Now, actually, I think you made a very good case for some kind of broader perspective because, yeah, your typical ICANN domain name domainer will not really buy into a human rights argument unless they're aware of some of the broader issues. So I'm not saying we should never touch on that stuff, but I think in terms of actually accomplishing something with these panels, we need to have kind of an output or a bottom line that relates to ICANN's policies.
Mm-hmm. I take your point. This meeting, of course, was focused on the Net Mundial, which is not all about ICANN. And so that's inherent in the proposition this time. But going forward, it's something to take into consideration. I raised a second question. Assessing points of substantive consensus disagreement within NCUC and the wider community. Do people detect from the dialogues that we had that we are moving? Is there anything that we can leverage? Do we see in the expressions that came from different parties, both within NCUC or other stakeholder groups, areas of commonality that we might be able to work on some of these issues, for example, on the IANA stuff? For example, on any of the other matters, or are we all just completely all over the place? Was there any kind of takeaway in terms of emerging areas of consensus, or was it just too desolate for that? Any thoughts? You were a panel chairman. Did you have any thoughts? Were there areas of agreement and disagreement that you noticed that might be useful to think about going forward?
Okay. I guess from the panel, okay, it's Rafik speaking. I guess from the panel that I moderate in the morning, which switch it to talk about IANA, even if I explain it several times to panelists that it's not about it. But I guess we may move towards some agreement in several parts. Even sometimes there was kind of discussion, like when one of the panelists, he really talked about the Congress oversight and so on, but I think we can move for some common ground. And that's the thing that we may have to work on it in the next months and weeks. And that's kind of the cross-community work that we need to focus. I don't think that there are so much disagreement in the important matters. And so we should keep continue working on that. It's not necessarily through a conference, but maybe in different way, maybe kind of, I mean, informal meetings and so on.
There's a lot more people here that weren't at the meeting than I was expecting. So perhaps it'll be a little bit difficult to press this point too far. But yes, did you have a suggestion? Marilia.
This is Marilia speaking. One thing that I have noticed on the first panel, I think, is that there's a very strong reaction in the community and feeling that the bottom-up process has been somehow trumped by some initiatives by the board and CEO, and people seem to be particularly uncomfortable with how the high-level panels and the strategic panels were set up. What are the goals? What are the results? And I think that this is something we could definitely work on. My concern is not only that it trumps the bottom-up process in a way, but also that a lot of money and resources were invested in these initiatives, and I'm not sure if the results to the community are going to pay off everything that was invested. And even about the quality of these documents, if we think, well, I did not read them all. I read two of them. One that called my attention more was about the role of ICANN in internet governance. And to me, it was a little strange to notice that, for instance, the text about BRICS had two pages. So in two pages, you explain everything about BRICS. BRICS are put all on the same area, like Brazil and China are the same in internet governance. If you spend 1 year dealing with that, you understand that it's not the case. And the position of countries were treated like very recklessly. Like the position of China comes from something that was read in the China Daily. So the China Daily published it, so they come to the conclusion that this is the position of China. And this is something that is going to inform the community. So even another point to say how seminars like this, that we make an effort to reach out and to bring more people to the discussion, is very important. And I think that this was something that I really took off. And I think that many people are now engaged on the IANA transition. And it seems that in our community that there is broad agreement that the transition should take place and be supportive of that.
Anyone else on this? Okay, then I will reply. I have very strong feelings about this, and I recognize them to be minority feelings. In a lot of discussions, in a lot of context, I find myself talking to a lot of American business people telling me how horrible it is that ICANN is becoming very top-down and not bottom-up enough. And I think for a lot of them, that is a game of trying to undermine Fadi and leadership because they don't like globalization and they want to push back against that. And so they're using this whole attack Fadi thing to say, you're way out of front, you're doing things that are not supported by the community, we don't want to let go to IANA, we're very comfortable because we're Washington, D.C. lobbyists who make our money scaring people into believing that they have to cling closely to us and we can go up to Capitol Hill and make things happen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So for them, there's a certain amount of, I don't want to say hypocrisy in those claims, but they have mixed answers. At the same time, I will also admit readily that the way the strategy panels were launched and so on was pretty ham-handed and could have been done a lot better, and that their outcome is fairly uneven. A suggestion. There is now a public comment period opening up. We have a whole bunch of members who are highly verbal, writing-oriented kinds of people. Why don't we write some replies to these public to these things? I don't personally view the strategy panels as a massive threat to the bottom-up process, particularly in the GNSO. When I was, we had a meeting in the GNSO the other day, and somebody who was behind me, I think, from he left for the business community, made a big point about how we need to examine the CEO now because it's so inappropriate he's doing this. We need to have an immediate group and assess him. And I got up and I said, can you outline some ways in which the convening of these panels have undermined the bottom-up GNSO process? And I got nothing. Fact of the matter is most of what they're recommending is not directly related to the GNSO process or the bottom-up process or so on. But nevertheless, they could have been handled differently and fine. So we might want to consider making some joint statements, coming to a view about these things and making some joint statements about them. That would be entirely useful. ICANN is looking for feedback. And frankly, despite the fact that we've got 300 and something members and fairly active in doing stuff, we don't participate in public comments a lot. And it's a pity. You don't have to write a lot. You can write two paragraphs, but you get it on the table, And then when the staff writes a summary of something, they have to say, range of views were expressed. The people in NCUC said they thought that such and such, et cetera. You can write them as individuals who are affiliated with NCUC, or you could try to come to you. Or you can try to come to an NCUC joint position and do it that way. But I think we can intervene in a way that Fadi would appreciate. That would be constructive. That would help to say, here's some issues to think about the way you did it, and here's some takeaways that you might consider going forward to make this process more effective. Yeah.
Bill, in the ancient past, and I realize it was a long time ago, we might have taken, just to suggest, to follow up, because I think it's very important that we engage in written comment. And there are, to see so many people here, there are definitely, we have the talent around the table. But in the past, what we've done is schedule time during the NCUC meeting with people briefing what the issue was, mm-hmm. that was on the table, what some of the pivotal issues for the non-commercial users constituency were, and maybe what some of the controversial issues were, so we could debate it. And that gave whoever was writing the comments a basis for going forward with writing the comments, and they would wind up with a small group around them to help edit. So may I suggest for future meetings we might think about that, because that's a way of launching comments much more quickly.
When does the public comment period close on the strategy panels? Huh? Mid-April. So we would have to move quickly to put some stuff on the table there. But we could have some kind of synthetic discussion in London where we drew on some of our main observations. Yes.
And let me share an observation to start with. As we look at some of the results of these panels, one thing that I was seeing, and I was only reading parts of them, was a lot of talk about global engagement, but not necessarily balance. And whenever I don't see the word balance, I like checks and balances. I like multi-stakeholder. I like balance. So if other people, as you're reading through the results of some of these strategy panels and new panels, could look at that and see whether you have the same question. In the old days, there used to be a talk, we'll just put the right people on the right panels and we'll come up with the right decisions. But the multi-stakeholder model to me is about balance, that you have people coming in with one interest, like intellectual property. You have people coming in with non-commercial interests. And together we work out policies because we balance. We argue. So the intellectual property people argue trademark. And we argue fair use. And together we balance. If you only have one side and not the other, you will not get the balance. So if other people could read through that and see that if I'm right or if I'm wrong or if you share the concern, let me know, because that could be an area we write comments on.
So then maybe one thing we could do in a way of using this technology with the Jabber and the ability to create ad hoc groups, maybe we could identify a few people who would want to review each of these reports. You know, if three people wanted to read a report on X and device, you know, just like two-page comment, and three people wrote one on Y, and we could put those together and get those out there into the public comment period and then use that as a basis for fostering some discussion amongst ourselves, that would be a really good thing to do, and taking into point that account the precise desire for balance that you're talking about. Rafiq.
I guess because we try to do more policy at the level of NCIC with a deep involvement of NCIC members. And this month we replied to three public comments. So we try to improve. And about the strategy panel we have, it's the end of April. So I think we have time. Again, back to how we can improve the process. I'm trying now is try to, for each, public comment, to list this in the wiki. It is better to have someone to follow up. I mean, it's not counting on PC chair or something. I mean, to have a leader for each public comment. And Brendan suggested another tool. So maybe he can talk about a little, that we can put the proposal, the comments, and we can get the votes of members. It can be much more easy just to have discussion in mailing list, so to have everything in the same place, and people can vote, and so we can see what kind of support. Maybe Brandon can explain a little bit about this.
I think you're referring to the liquid democracy tool.
Yes.
Yeah, right. So there are several experiments going on out there to use platforms to help develop position statements amongst a large group of people. So there's basically two phases to it. There's a collaboration phase where a position or a proposal is developed, and then it goes into a kind of support gaining phase where we can take advantage of ideas like delegating one's support of a particular position to another group and basically scaling up the support for a particular proposal. So in short, we're experimenting with some of these tools, and if anyone's interested in doing that, helping look at them, evaluate them, just contact me and we can go forward.
Okay, great. Thank you. Steffi.
Just a short comment. A reality check on these platforms, which are very, very useful. But a platform, as you know very well, doesn't make a community. So those people that are going to volunteer to take on board a specific topic and draft something for the public comment period should ideally also take charge of animating the discussion. Really going and you know, knock on people's virtual doors and try to have them to contribute in a specific time frame. I did try a similar process exactly with internal governance principles, and it was very difficult to have a conversation going. So yeah. Whoever takes responsibility should take the whole package, ideally.
Okay, thanks. All right, let me move briefly to the next agenda item 4, and we don't need to spend, obviously we're not going to spend the kind of time that it originally envisioned, but that's okay. Could we put the agenda back on the, David, on the, just to ask, going forward, I mean, recognizing that not everybody was at the meeting, but given what we have heard about ways we could do it better and what we've seen there and so on, how do we want to think about taking forward NCUC's engagement in the space? There are a number of different things going on right now with regard to internet governance that are beyond the typical GNSO and BitBit, which definitely tie into ICANN and its role in the ecosystem, and which I think appeal to a number of us. There is the cross-community working group. Avery just made a horrible face, which... Rafiq is the co-facilitator of, so you two could take it outside later, which submitted a input to the Net Mondial, but and was the first effort on the part of the ICANN community to come together and try in a very short, compressed time to say something reasonable jointly about broader internet governance issues. And one question is, do we want to continue to engage in that more? We have 4 representatives there now on that group. Do we view that as something that we want to put time into? There's the OneNet initiative. The OneNet initiative is, a lot of people run down the OneNet initiative and say that it's garbaggio and the listserv is full of cranky trolls and junk like that, and that's undoubtedly true. It's also true that you're seeing debate between people who would never have talked before. And collective learning is taking place. I mean, I think it's undoubtable. You've got, like, hardcore techie guys talking to really radical, anti-U.S. kind of guys, and they're sorting through some things. And I think that's potentially useful. We are having a steering committee meeting on Friday to try to figure out really what the hell our objective is with OneNet. But it's an open question whether NCUC has always been very focused purely within the ICANN space, and then there are these other civil society coalitions that are working on the broader IG stuff. There's the Internet Governance Coalition Caucus. There's the Best Bits Network. There's various types of groupings out there. We have not sought to play a role in that larger space, and I don't know whether we have the bandwidth to do so. But the question is, that larger space is impinging more and more on what we do here. And do we want to think more about how we might interface with it, whether in Net Mondial, the IGF, or other settings going forward. We do workshops at IGF every year. They've been quite successful. And they attracted a number of new members last time, and we hope to do it again this time. But do people have any thoughts about this? How to leverage that linkages between NCUC, an organization born and bred internal to ICANN, and the wider internet governance world? How do we want to engage it? Is there anything there for us? Should we stay very locally, tightly focused just on the GNSO stuff, or should we try to be involved in some of these other things too? Do we have any thoughts about any of these matters? Waleed.
Yes, it's Waleed Asakaf. I've come to ICANN through the fellowship program, which is also important. And many of those fellows actually are connected to those organizations. I'm a member of the Dynamic Coalition of Freedom of Expression at the IGF, an internet society. So there are many aspects in which we can communicate as a common bridge to those organizations and from those organizations. I did mention a year ago that this is a deficiency in NCUC, that it lacks this coordination with those elements so as to embolden its position, particularly that the brochure has a very wide mandate and includes human rights. And when you look into the real action, there's not much about it, honestly speaking. So there needs to be a way in which we can leverage that support. And I'm ready for my part to help in connecting you.
So much going on with RightsCon, with the meeting in Estonia. So many things going on around internet issues that have a governance component where we could be bringing some real understanding of, you know, ICANN from the inside into that other environment. But again, it's a bandwidth issue and so on and so forth. Any other thoughts about this? Carlos.
Interesting, the title of our topic now, implications for NCUC engagement on IG. I think we should put here justifications for NCUC engagement on IG, because the non-commercial users constituents is composed of entities, mostly, that are fighting for human rights throughout the world and fighting for social justice and similar social development issues. And it's everything to do with us to tackling issues of internet governance as a whole regarding rights-based issues and other issues. So not only restrict ourselves to the domain of domain names, no, and the implications of the domain names for any other issue. So I think it's everything to do with us going to broader internet governance issues with our vision as civil society organizations mostly, no?
Other thoughts from behind me, or no? I see new people. Yes.
Hi, I'm Farzana, ICANN fellow. So when I look at this brochure, the name is the non-commercial users constituency. I would say a non-commercial concerns constituency, because you may be from the private sector, but you may have some non-commercial concerns, and especially from the part of the world where I'm from, civil society is not that strong, and sometimes they are actually classified as private sector. So if you restrict this to civil society, which I see that you have this, like, to the road to the civil society. If you restrict it to civil society, it will, you are not going to be able to cover as much as you can, like, different regions. And also, I have another comment on the regional division that you have, and you have Asia. What does that cover? That covers Iran and Japan and couple of other countries.
I think the regional divisions are set by ICANN.
What they use at the UN as well. So it's Asia Pacific, I guess. It's even wider than what.
I'm WEOG.
Yes, that's right.
That's quite a category.
Your other.
Yeah, but the ICANN has sets for regional, for it's an ICANN policy that we don't get to change what the regions are.
Maybe you can have focus groups on like different.
Farzana, I take your point. It does say in the brochure that, and in what we've tried to do, while civil society is kind of our bedrock, we say we're for protecting non-commercial users and uses. And the uses, and we have lots of members who work for the private sector, who work for government, but who have concerns with maintaining a net that's not completely commercial. And so maybe we can emphasize that more, make that more direct as an outreach point, and I think that's a good one. Okay, I know we're probably all desperate to take a coffee break, and that's fine. Larry Strickling and Fiona will be arriving in 15 minutes, and we should definitely be here on time for them. It'd be not good to have the Assistant Secretary of State Commerce walk in and the room is half empty. There should be coffee, like, right outside. Kathy had asked whether we needed to really prepare first. I think in terms of preparing, I think we could probably wing it, is my guess. I think we all know how to talk with Larry. But let's do try to be back in our seats at 11 o'clock sharp so that he's not here alone. Okay?